from that song that there's tough times and there's easy times. Three of them did, Skeeter. Come sing it again. No. Tough times. Has anybody besides me and Skeeter discovered that that's a reality in life? You know, when I think about the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 chapter where he says, man, and I'm going to paraphrase this now. I can quote it word for word, but I'm going to paraphrase it so that you that are in the slow learners class might can get it. Not really. But he says, you know, in this walk of life, I battle. The things that I want to do are the things I don't do. And then the things that I don't want to do are the very things that I find myself doing. Then he says, oh, wretched man that I am. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. I'm going to give you a pop quiz. I talked to you here not long ago about that word wretched. Been preaching that chapter for many years, and I never really went and looked up the word wretched. And if you look it up, this is what you'll find. Defined in the dictionary, it says, poor in quality, contemptible, miserable. Paul is saying, oh, contemptible, miserable, poor in quality man that I am. Now, here's a man that writes roughly two-thirds of the New Testament. Probably outside of Jesus Christ, one of the strongest Christians that ever lived. He realized the battle of life. He realized the war that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. You see, that's where that phrase came in, the things that I do want to do, I don't do. And those things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Tonight, I'm not going to preach. My sermon is going to be reading. I've never done this before in my life. Now, who knows what God may have up his sleeve besides an arm. But I have no intention but doing anything but letting his word challenge you. Now, I want you to take out your invisible spiritual notebook and your invisible spiritual pen. And I want you to grade and judge your own life as we read this scripture. I'm not here to judge anyone except me. I am accountable to judge me. And if I'll judge myself now and be truthful in my judgment and assessment and then the rectifying of the wrongs, when I stand before the ultimate judge on judgment day, I'll hear him say those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into a place that I've prepared for you. And that place is so grand and glorious that we don't even have the ability to envision what heaven is. Did you know that? Scripture says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of the man. Those things the Lord has prepared for them that love him. If heaven were only as good as you can imagine it to be, that'd be good enough, wouldn't it, Tim? But it surpasses our imagination. But yet, there is a warfare between the spirit man that we all have and are, and the flesh man that we all have and are. I can say woman there, but I'm not worried about being politically correct because I know y'all aren't going to be offended. But if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Galatians chapter 5. While you're turning there, I thought about how many of y'all remember a few months ago when I come up here and I had on a red hoodie and some wind pants and stuff. Didn't have a hat on. Some of y'all didn't even know I had hair. You ain't never seen me without a hat. Well, there was a reason for that. You see, I fooled around there and I wasn't taking care of business, Veronica. Next thing you know, I thought, you know, I'm putting on a couple pounds. Thought I put on 8 or 10 pounds. And all of a sudden, one day, I couldn't button my britches. Seriously. I had to make a trip to Ranchland, get a couple pair of jeans. Before I could get to Ranchland, I had to preach, so I had on that windsuit. But shortly thereafter, it was time for that annual physical. Well, I thought I'd lost gained 8 or 10 pounds, and I walked up in there, Granny. I had gained 34 pounds. Like you hadn't. Come on. And I thought, you know what? I got to get this flesh under control. And Miss Glenda, she began to cook right, and I began to eat right. That was after the fact, Philip. And I lost that weight, and I got back to where I could button my britches. But you see, sometimes it takes going to the doctor and stepping up on those scales or having that blood pressure tested or that A1C done or that colonoscopy, or you kind of fill in the blank there, for you to come to a truth and a reality of what you're really all about. And reality should make us step back, adjust, and move forward. So with that in mind, I trust you're at Galatians chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 13. And it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh," in other words, to sin, "but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Verse 16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Now I'm going to pause there for just a minute, because we tend to equate that word lust or lusteth in a sexual connotation, and it includes that. But in my old age, I'm finding I need to go to the dictionary a whole lot more than I did when I was young, because see, when I was young, I knew everything. But now I don't know as much as I did when I was young. So I looked up that word, lusteth. And one of the definitions that fits appropriately to the passage of Scripture we're reading tonight is a desire to have power over. So the flesh, your fleshly man, your sinful nature, desires to have power over your spiritual man. But your spiritual man desires to have power over your fleshly man. So there's this battle, there's this war, there's this struggle that goes on. I assure you, all these professional wrestlers that are here tonight, they don't just show up on fight night. I assure you, they go to the gym, they lift, they work out, they do the aerobic, the cardio, they do the strength, the moves, the tumbling. They work to be better. Come on, Christians, we need to learn from that. We need to get in our spiritual gym, and we need to do spiritual workout, meaning ingesting the Word of God, having our mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word, equipping ourselves so that we're armed and dangerous when we enter the battle ring with the devil, or even in our daily life with our own flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are, you got your pencil, your spiritual pencil, you got your spiritual pads, grade your paper. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God right now. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, there's my favorite word. But, what does but mean? It means what's about to be said is of more importance, more power than what was previously said. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Are you grading your paper? Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The only way that we will not fulfill the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. It's a certainty that if we're not walking in the Spirit, we will walk in the flesh, and in the flesh dwells no good thing. There's a battle. There's this war that's going on there that I'm talking about in your life, in my life. And tonight I just want to blow a trumpet. Joel chapter 2 says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Listen, this thing is wrapping up. Jesus is getting ready to appear. And we had better be doing what's necessary in our lives with his help to become the person that we need to be. Don't get caught with being one of those that says, oh, the Lord delayeth his coming. Don't you get caught saying, ah, they've been saying that for years. That's right, and every day that they've said it for years, it's got one day closer to his coming. Choices. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to close. I know y'all find that hard to believe. This is a little devotional I used to read every day, and I hadn't read it for two or three years because I read it for two or three years, and I hadn't read it for two or three years, and I've had it in the door of my truck. It's Grace for the Moment by Max Lucado. And he talks about choices. I'm talking about that choice between yielding to the flesh or yielding to the Spirit. You see, you have a choice. You don't have to just run down the road out of control thinking that you don't have to make any decisions, because nothing could be further from the truth, because the path that you're taking as you run down the road is based on the choices that you are making. Good or bad, right or wrong, sin or righteousness. You are a byproduct of the choices that you have made. Did you know that they say that studies have proven that the average adult makes 2,500 choices a day? What to wear, how fast to drive, whether to answer your wife or not. I love that commercial. I don't even know what it's about. I just like what happens where that guy's driving, his wife's got her little earphones on, his kid's got the little earphones. He's talking about, you know, sometimes I leave the seat up on purpose. I got a brand new putter you don't even know about. I'm thinking, that's my kind of guy. No. But choices. You've got to want to crucify your flesh. You have to want to walk in the Spirit. You have to equip yourself to knowing what God's Word says about life. You have to allow the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher that will lead, guide, and direct us into all truths, teach us all things. You have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to form convictions in us of what to do, what not to do. And might I say this? There ain't nobody sitting in this place or standing on this stage that's perfect. Now, we're to strive and try for perfection. Our goal as Christians is what? This is a simple reminder. To be like Jesus. To get to where I think like him. I talk like him. I act like him. I serve like him. I go the extra mile. I do what needs to be done. See, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And the greatest among us is the servant. And we've got to take on a servant's heart and a servant's spirit. And we've got to go out into the highways, into the byways, and not just compel them to come to Christ, but let them see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Choices. I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today I will love God and what God loves. I choose joy. I will invite my God to be the God of circumstance. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of the lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I will refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see God. I choose peace. I will live forgiven. I will forgive so that I may live. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconveniences of the world. Instead of cursing the one who takes my place, I will invite him to do so. Rather than complain that the wait is too long, I will thank God for a moment to pray. Instead of clenching my fist at new assignments, I will face them with joy and courage. I choose kindness. I will be kind to the poor, for they are alone. Kind to the rich, for they are afraid. And kind to the unkind, for such is how God has treated me. I choose goodness. I will go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one. I will be overlooked before I boast. I will confess before I will accuse. I choose goodness. I choose faithfulness. Today I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word, and my wife will not question my love. And my children will never fear that their father will not come home. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it be in praise. If I clench my fist, may it be only in prayer. If I make a demand, may it be only of myself. I choose self-control. I am a spiritual being. After this body is dead, my spirit will soar. I refuse to let what will rot rule the eternal. I choose self-control. I will be drunk only by joy. I will be impassioned only by my faith. I will be influenced only by God. I will be taught only by Christ. I choose self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To these I commit my day. If I succeed, I will give thanks. If I fail, I will seek his grace. And then, when this day is done, I will place my head on my pillow and rest. Tonight, tomorrow when you get up, tomorrow night, the day after, every day, for as long as you shall live and as long as I shall live, there will always be a struggle between the spirit man and the physical man, the fleshly man. You, by your choices, by your choosing to run to the God of hope and to reach out to Jesus, can obtain the help that you need and is necessary to live an overcoming life instead of being overcome. That's my challenge from God's word to you tonight. Will you bow your heads? You're here tonight and you say, Dennis, I'm a Christian, but I've been losing the battle to the flesh here lately. Tonight I recognize the fact that I need to repent. And I need to walk in the Spirit so that I don't fulfill the flesh. Could I see your hand? Is that you, anyone, anywhere? Yes, several hands. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Dennis, I don't know this Jesus. I was born in the flesh. I've lived in the flesh. I'm a sinner. Tonight I'd like to ask this Jesus to forgive me, to cleanse me, to be my Savior and to be my Lord. That's your decision. He said in his word, we set life and death before you. Choose life. If you're here tonight and that's you, you say that this is the day that I'm going to choose life. Could I see your hand? I'm going to tell you a little bit more if that's you. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Quickly. Slip it up. Slip it right back down. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, look up here at me. The Word of God is very clear. Very clear. Joining a church doesn't save you. Teaching a Sunday school class doesn't save you. Singing on platform doesn't save you. Giving money doesn't save you. Well, what saves me? The Bible says this, that if I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, left deity of heaven, he came to earth, was tempted and tried in all ways as you and I are, yet he stayed faithful and to his mission and he never sinned. And his pristine, pure blood that he shed on Calvary for the sins of all the world, for the sins of mankind, redeemed us back into a right relationship with God. He died, but he walked out of that grave and he's alive today. We believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth. The word says we're saved. We become adopted into the family. And adopted is an important word, and I'm going to talk to you about it in just a second. See, not every child that's born to biological parents is wanted. But every child that's adopted, be it into the spiritual life or even here on this earth, there's a predetermined love that I want a child so bad that I'll go to the expense of lawyers and all of the things that's involved in that. You see, when we're adopted into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, he's already determined a love for us, and that while we're yet sinners, he loved us and he gave himself for us. You haven't been too bad. You haven't been too bad. So tonight, with the understanding that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved, I want to lead us in a prayer. My prayers can't save you. You must confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. You can receive the greatest gift ever given, the gift of eternal life. So would you bow your heads and let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. I am a sinner. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life, to be my Savior and my Lord. Help me by the power of your Spirit to learn your word, to learn your ways, to learn your voice, so that I can live a life that brings honor to you and pleasure to me. Teach me, Lord, in your ways. We'll be sure to say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. and amen. Lord, you saw many hands go up across this place of Christian people that for whatever reason have become entangled with the cares of life, and they've yielded themselves over to being controlled more by the flesh than the spirit. And as they reach out and cry out to you tonight and ask for forgiveness, God, I pray that they would just sense and feel your love as you wrap your arms around them and hold them. Help them to realize that it is possible to walk in the spirit so that we don't fulfill the flesh. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness for us, your love for us, your compassion. And it never ends. Go with us as we leave. Keep us safe. Lord, for all the victims in Mexico and Puerto Rico and places that have undergone such devastation with storms and earthquakes. Lord, we don't know them by name, but you know every hair on their head, and we just lift them before you tonight. God, that we pray that through this adversity, through these trials, through this difficulty, that they'll draw close to you, that they'll see your hand, see your face, experience your love and your life in such a way that their lives will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Nathaniel's going to go give you a couple of announcements, and then we'll be dismissed.
Amen. God's word is...